Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All together, please. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Kakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dhina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostute Tapchikanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Prishabana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Bhavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Today is text 37. 39. Okay. Can you turn these fans down a bit, please? A bit noisy. Okay, 39. Please repeat. Etan me samsayam Krishna chetum ahasi seshita twad anya samsayasyasya cheta na hi upapadyate itam me samsayam krishna chetum ahasi aseshita twad anya samsayasyasya Chaitana hi upapadyate Itam me samsayam Krishna Chaitam ahasi aseshita Twad anya samsaya yashyasya Chaitana hi upapadyate Etam me samsayam Krishna Chetum ahasi aseshita Chetum ahasi aseshita Tvad anya samsayas yasya Chaitanahi upapadyate Etam me samsayam Krishna Etam ahasi aseshita Tvad anya samsayasyasya Chaitanahi upapadyate Please repeat. This is my doubt, O Krishna. And I ask you to dispel it completely. But for yourself, no one is to be found. Who can destroy this doubt? Purport Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is the perfect knower of past, present and future. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord said that all living entities exist individually in the past, that they exist now, in the present, and that they continue to retain individual identity in the future, even after liberation from material entanglement. So he has already cleared up the question of the future of the living entity. Now, Arjuna wants to know of the future of the unsuccessful transcendentalist. No one is equal to or above Krishna, and certainly the so-called great sages and philosophers who are at the mercy of material nature cannot equal him. Therefore, the verdict of Krishna is the final and most complete answer to all doubts, because he knows past, present and future perfectly. But no one knows him. Krishna and Krishna conscious devotees alone can know what is what. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam laite girim yad kripa tamaham bande shri guru dinatarinam itam me samsayam Krishna chaitam ahasi aseshita tvad anya samsayas yasya cheta nahi upapadyate. This is my doubt, O Krishna, and I ask you to dispel it completely. But for yourself, no one is to be found who can destroy this doubt. So, this is Arjuna, of course, talking to Krishna. And the doubt is explained in the previous verse. O mighty armed Krishna, does not such a man, being deviated from the path of transcendence, perish like a riven cloud with no position in any sphere? Huh? And the previous verse, what is the destination of a man of faith who does not persevere and who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization but later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism? Yes. So Arjuna was doubtful. What happens if somebody takes to this form of yoga, particularly here, jhana yoga or ashtanga yoga, that stresses meditation, withdrawal from material activities and meditation on the Supreme Self, on Krishna? What if somebody doesn't persevere? It's very interesting, that, isn't it? There's a famous quote like that, that if you want to be successful, you must persevere. And that there are many geniuses who didn't achieve anything because they didn't persevere. There are many very talented people who didn't achieve anything in life because they didn't persevere. And that perseverance is the king. It is essential. Without perseverance, one can't succeed in anything. So Arjuna is making that point. What if you don't persevere in this form of yoga? What is this form of yoga? This is, as we say, Ashtanga or Jnana Yoga, Eightfold Mysticism. And before this question, Arjuna also said, well, this sounds very difficult to me. The system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady. So this form of yoga, you can divide it into two as far as the meditation is, and that is that Krishna tells Arjuna, as regards the material world, you should be neutral. You shouldn't think in duality. The material energy is always pushing and pulling the materially conditioned soul. Raja Dvesa Samuddhena. We like this and we don't like that. We think this person is my friend and this is my enemy. I want this but I don't want that. So we're always, the materially conditioned people are always agitated, seeing things in duality, relative to themselves. But in this form of yoga, Jnana Yoga, one is said to be neutral. In Krishna consciousness practice, we also say upeksha. The Majjhimadikari is said, if you meet inimical people that don't like devotees or criticize, then you should be upeksha. You should neglect. You shouldn't fight with them. You shouldn't hate with them. You should just be neutral. So that idea is there in yoga, that you shouldn't be agitated by the material energy. And of course, that's a very peculiar thing to say to Arjuna. He's on the battlefield and he's going to fight. Krishna's going to tell him, well, he has been telling him, you must fight. So how he can see without equal vision Duryodhana and his brothers? If you're in a fight, a big army, two big armies, you've got to have an idea of friends and enemies, right? So this form of yoga means withdrawal from society. So Arjuna's made that point. It's impractical and unendurable. How is it possible? This form of yoga, Ashtanga yoga, yama, niyama, things that you should do, and then niyama, things that you shouldn't do for purity. Then you should perform asana to keep the body fit and ready for long meditation. Then you should do pranayama to get in touch with the pranic movements within the body. And when you can get hold of the prana, you can fix it in the heart, in the other chakras, and then you can perform pratyahara. That means to withdraw the senses from the external world, keep them within the consciousness. And then pratyahara, then jnana. Jnana means contemplation. You fix the mind on the transcendental energy, the transcendental objective. Then you try to create dharana. Dharana means a flow of consciousness, unbroken, fixed on that transcendence. And that should lead to the eighth step, samadhi. Samadhi, as Krishna explains here, is not impersonal. The true yogi, yes, well, we'll start from the verse before, 28. Steady in the self, this means with dharana and samadhi, being freed from all material contamination, the yogi achieves the highest perfectional stage of happiness in touch with the Supreme Consciousness. So he's withdrawn his consciousness from the material platform, and he's put his consciousness on transcendence, Supreme Consciousness. A true yogi, but it's not impersonal. Of course, we know there are Brahmavadis, Mayavadis. They think, I'm going to meditate on the impersonal Brahman and merge in with that. But that is not recommended. The Brahman is there, the Brahma Jyoti is there. But it is the impersonal effulgence of Krishna. It is just the energy. But a true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. This is the Uttamadhikari stage, also described in the Bhagavatam, that you see everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything. Indeed, the self-realized man sees me everywhere. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So this is personal samadhi. One has realized one's relationship with Krishna. And that relationship is never lost. The yogi who knows that I am the super soul within all creatures are one, worships me and always remains in me in all circumstance. He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings, both in their happiness and distress, O Arjuna. So, that is the system of yoga, the step by step, and this is the meditation and the goal to realize this, that Krishna is within everything and to see Krishna in all circumstances. And that is the perfection of yoga, and sees true equality of all beings, both in their happiness and distress. So that's very good, but Arjuna is on the battlefield. Is Krishna telling him to sit down on the chariot and perform dharana? No. But because Bhagavad Gita summarizes all forms of yoga and all Vedic knowledge in one book, this is worked into the conversation. Still, there's lots of knowledge to be drawn from it, because devotees can also practice this when they meditate on the transcendental realm. They should know this, withdrawing the senses from the external world and fixing the consciousness on Krishna. But actually, it's very interesting to note that Krishna earlier says that you should fix the consciousness within the heart. Yeah. Anyway, so because Krishna is there, and we know that Paramatma and the soul are within the heart. The heart, not the physical heart, but in the region of the heart, the soul and the super soul are there. And that is the seat of the consciousness. Generally we think within our head, because the brain is there and the nervous system. So the consciousness is very powerfully manifested within the head. But the seat of the consciousness is in the heart. So devotees are recommended to meditate within the heart, Krishna within the heart, and chant within the heart. And that awakens one's relationship in this way. But Arjuna had that doubt, saying, well, this is not really practical for me, because I'm a Kshatriya. I'm in this situation now, and the mind is very restless. That was the next thing that Arjuna said, the restless and disturbed. So how can you control it? The mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong. We all know that, right? We all try to control the mind. I shouldn't overeat. I shouldn't oversleep. I shouldn't become angry. I shouldn't talk prajalpa. But the mind pushes us, right? Very strong. And to subdue it seems to me, more difficult than controlling the wind. Of course, we can't control the wind. So how is it possible to control the mind? So, of course, that is a little poetic from Arjuna. More difficult than controlling the wind. That he's saying it's impossible. Because you cannot control the wind. So if something is more difficult than controlling the wind, you're saying it's impossible, in a tactful way. But Krishna corrects him. O mighty arm, son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by constant practice, that means perseverance, and by detachment, right? Those two things are there again. Detachment from the material world and attachment, perseverance in one's meditation. So this is meditating on the Super Soul and the qualities of Krishna, not directly stated chanting. But still, like we say, we can learn from this, that we have to persevere in our practice. Therefore, Vaidhi Bhakti means to chant regularly, even if one doesn't gain great pleasure. Actually, it is very important to gain pleasure from one's chanting. Because earlier in the Gita, Krishna says that the taste for these agitating material life may be there. In the period of sadhana, we want to enjoy intoxication, gambling, material activities. But Krishna says, however, by param drisva nivartate, by getting a higher taste, one becomes fixed in that consciousness. One is able to give up attraction for the lower material taste. So how to get that pleasure? How to get that spiritual anand? That is very important. Because whether it's by chanting or by meditation, ultimately the living entity by nature is anandamoy byasat. So unless he is satisfying his desire, anandamoy byasat means pleasure seeking. Unless he is feeling pleasure, he will not be able to continue. This is why the people that meditate on an impersonal Brahman eventually become bored. There is a certain relief from giving up the material agitation and sitting peacefully and on the oneness of everything. So yes, one can give up the agitation, but one will not get anand. One will not get bliss from an impersonal state. For instance, when we want to enjoy, we like to see our friends and reciprocate, go out and have some activity, some discussion. If we stay in an impersonal state, then generally the soul feels bored. It is one thing, like when you go to the dentist, you may have a terrible pain, and then the dentist takes away the pain, fixes your tooth. So you think, oh, happiness. But that happiness is relief. So that is a form of happiness, yeah. So if you engage in impersonal meditation, you will feel some happiness, some relief. But then you want to use your teeth properly and eat nice foodstuffs and get more pleasure. So relief isn't really happiness in the real sense, real pleasure, but using something properly is the real pleasure. So in Krishna consciousness, like Krishna has said here, one who sees me within everything and everything within me, he is never lost to me and I am never lost to him. Real pleasure is to reciprocate with Krishna, you see. So that is the source of the higher pleasure. So how to reciprocate with Krishna? It is not very difficult at all. In this material world, we are seeking our own satisfaction and our own pleasure. And that is the material consciousness. But on the transcendental platform, people are seeking the satisfaction and the happiness of Krishna. Just like in this world, a mother seeks the happiness and health and well-being of her child. Right? Parents are unselfish in that way. So this is material example. But they are living for the betterment, improvement and happiness, protection of their children. Prabhupada used this as an example. So a devotee, he performs his activities as yajna, as sacrifice. Yagi, manmana bhavamad bhakto madyagi. He, like the matajis in the temple, they make the garlands for the pleasure of Krishna. The kirtan people, they have a kirtan for the pleasure of Krishna. We keep the temple clean for the pleasure of Krishna. We chant 16 rounds minimum because that's the order of Guru. And when you follow the order of Guru, then Guru is pleased. And then if Guru is pleased, Krishna is pleased. And that is the end point. That is the final goal. That is pure bhakti. The mother takes care of the child. And she doesn't really, if we put it in a pure way, she doesn't want anything back from the child. She just wants the happiness of the child. In this material world, we try to satisfy the boss at work so that we get our salary. We get something back. But that is not like bhakti. The devotee, he wants to serve Krishna, serve Guru, serve the Vaishnavas for their satisfaction. And that is all. Therefore Lord Chaitanya has said, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. I don't want wealth, I don't want high position, I don't want the beautiful things of life. And then the next verse he says, I nanda tanuja kinkara, I'm your servant. I just want to be your servant. Janmani janmani ishvari. So the devotee, the devotional yoga, bhakti yoga, is devotion to the Supreme Lord for his pleasure. Sometimes we may think, oh, I'm going to chant so that I get bliss. I'm going to chant so that I get liberation. I'm going to chant so that I'm famous for chanting 64 rounds a day. We may be still self-motivated. And this can be natural in one sense, because this is the material consciousness that we're struggling to get out of. So we may think, I chant Hare Krishna, like sometimes in the old days, I don't hear it so much now, chant and be happy. So people thought, we'd tell people, you chant Hare Krishna and you'll feel happy. So then people thought, okay, I'll chant. And it, The police can't arrest me for this. Like smoke hash and be happy. But they can be arrested for that. And then there was even one devotee, stay high forever. He put on his card. So people might think that chanting mantra will make you happy. And that may be their motivation. Now, it's okay if they do like that. But we should understand that that is not pure bhakti. Pure bhakti means that I want to serve Krishna, I want to serve Guru, I want to satisfy Krishna and satisfy the Vaishnavas for their satisfaction. And that is the final point. There's in Krishna book, there's one chapter about Nanda Maharaj. There was one festival coming for the worship of the Ganga. So all the Brijbasis, they got their bullock carts, and led by Nanda Maharaj, they went to the Ganga. And they worshipped the Ganga, and then they worshipped Lord Shiva. And it says there in the Bhagavatam that having performed the yajna and all the worship and bhajan of Lord Shiva and Ganga, they prayed, it says in the Bhagavatam directly, may the Supreme Lord be pleased with us. And that's it. They weren't performing the yajna so that they would get some future benefit, go to the heavenly planets. They were just performing the yajna for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. And whatever Krishna sends, that is his kripa. That is the devotional mentality. So if we understand this, and we perform all our activities in this consciousness, then we develop the consciousness of the spiritual world. Because the Brijbasis, they are manifesting in this world, but they are always in transcendental consciousness. The pure devotees are always considering the pleasure of the divine couple and the Vaishnavas. And they don't have any concern for their own self. That is understandable because in the transcendental realm, people are atmaram. They're self-satisfied. So there's nothing to be achieved. In this material world, people are not atmaram. They're in distress. They feel a lack. And they feel hunger. Hunger for food, drink, sensuality. But in the spiritual body, in the spiritual realm, there's no hunger. There's no thirst. There's no desire for material sensuality. But people engage in activities out of ecstasy, out of affection. That is the spur. Everyone is satisfied within themselves, but out of happiness and out of transcendental consciousness, they engage in leela. Just think. Why are people searching for money, position in society, sundarim, the nice things in life? Why do they want them? Because there's a big hole in their heart. They're unsatisfied. And we see, even if they get these things, they want more money, they want more position, more power. So these things are not satisfactory. We see very rich people, very beautiful people, very high position people, but they want more and more. It is stated in the Shastra that there, on this planet, for one man, there is not enough women, gold, jewels, land, and water on this planet, just for one man. He will conquer the whole land, and then he will look Let me conquer another planet. Because in this world people are not satisfied in their heart by material things. So in the transcendental realm, people are at Maran. They're situated in transcendental bliss. They're not situated in material anxiety, feeling a deficit. In this world, though, people are in illusion. They think that I've got so much, if I get some more, that will make me satisfied. But through Bhagavad Gita, through Guru Parampara, the fortunate soul begins to understand that true happiness and satisfaction is not available in the material energy, because I am spiritual. And then from the Shastra, Guru and Vaishnav, he understands that if I want transcendental pleasure and become fixed in self-realization, then I have to act for the pleasure of Hari, Guru and Vaishnav. And then we develop the transcendental consciousness. You see? We go to the spiritual world when we have the bhava of the spiritual world. When we have the bhava of this world, a kind of selfish enjoying mood, we stay in this world. We may become a demigod or a dog. We may become a rakshasa or a welfare worker. But basically, we have at least some element of self-motivation. Huh? So therefore we stay in this world. But in the transcendental realm, people are not self-motivated in that sense. They realize, or just out of natural consciousness, they have true self-motivation. In this material world, people have different levels of self. They think, my things are myself, my bag, my house, my land. But within that, they think, no, my body is myself. And then some people think, no, my real self is my mind. And then some people, if they have a little knowledge, they say, no, no, my real self is my soul. But then people who have real spiritual knowledge of the personal nature of the Absolute, they realize that this soul, the self of the soul, is Krishna. Krishna explains in 15th chapter, which is recommended to be read in Purushottam Mass, actually, that Mavai Vongsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. That the soul is part of me. Just like this finger. You can say this is a finger, but you can also say this is the body. So a soul, you can think it's an individual soul, or you can also say it's part of Krishna. Huh? You can look at this and say, ask somebody, what is this? They can say, it's your finger. Or they can also say, it's your body. So the individual soul is also Krishna. Is an answer of Krishna. Huh? Simultaneously, one and different. Just like this finger is simultaneously a finger and the body. So, the soul of the soul, Atma, Atma, is Krishna. So, once one has realized Krishna, as Krishna explains, sees me within everything and everything within me, then I am never lost to him and he is never lost to me. You see? So, the real self of the soul is Krishna. We have individual self and we have our higher self, Krishna. Therefore, just like this finger should act for the body, so the individual soul, its natural function is to act for Krishna. And then when this finger acts for this body, so when the individual soul acts for Krishna, this finger is happy when it feeds the body. So when the individual soul acts for the satisfaction, pleasure of Krishna, then naturally the individual soul feels pleasure. That is not the actual goal, but it is a result of acting for Krishna. And that is the only way to realize Krishna. Bhaktyamam abhijananti. So this is bhakti. We should understand what is bhakti. Bhakti means unmotivated service. That means unmotivated for our own self, but motivated for the self of Krishna. And if we understand that, and we, sadhana bhakti means to create this bhava, this mood of service to Krishna and Guru and Vaishnav, if we develop that and we become fixed in that by feeling transcendental pleasure and liberation, then we go to the transcendental realm when this body drops off. Because, as it says in the 8th chapter, ante, what is that verse?
That's
it. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tat tat eva. That whatever your consciousness at the time of death, you will go to that place. So if you have consciousness of serving Hari, serving Guru, serving Vaishnav, then you'll go to where that consciousness is. But if you have the consciousness of serving me, or a mixed consciousness, or there's so much variegatedness, then you may have to take birth again in the material world. So if we understand this key point, then we know this is how you can develop bhava bhakti, actually. Because bhava bhakti means the emotion, the mood of transcendental realm. So sadhana bhakti is meant to create bhava bhakti. Vaidhi, raganuga, bhava bhakti. So what is that bhava bhakti? That bhava is that. There are 9 symptoms given in the Nectar of Devotion, and you'll see that they are based on this idea. There's no attachment to the material consciousness, but nama sada ruchi. There's always a taste for chanting, always a taste for discussing Krishna. And unmotivated bhakti. And so then it is also explained in Nectar of Devotion that at bhava bhakti platform, that is when Swarup Siddhi arrives. The realization of Krishna and the realization of one's spiritual form. Because we're not the body. Okay, what body are we? Well, we have a spiritual body. Oh, very nice. It's in the soul. How to manifest it? Well, just in the same way that a materially contaminated soul has the consciousness of a dog and the body is added, he gets a dog body. Or a materially contaminated soul has the demigod consciousness. So then he gets a birth in the Devalok. Or a materially contaminated soul has the consciousness of a Rakshasa. So he goes to the Rakshasas. So wherever your consciousness is, there's your destination. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam, bhavam. So if you have the bhava of unmotivated bhakti, Then you go to the transcendental realm. You go to the Bhauma Leela for training, and you go to Krishna Lok. So if we understand that we perform bhakti for satisfaction of Guru, for satisfaction of Krishna, and that is the final point for satisfaction of Vaishnava, and we cultivate that mood, then we are cultivating the basis of our swarup. Do you understand? People sometimes think, this is the mistake, this is what Prabhupada... Oh, I will imagine I am a cowherd boy. So this is just, okay, you're using your mind, it's good. But the thing is, the main thing is to create the bhava of a cowherd boy. You understand? And then the form will naturally manifest. The essential thing, like I say, same principle is there. In the material world, you get your body according to your material bhava, or bhavarog actually. So the same thing in the spiritual world. And that's what Mahaprabhu has taught us, that to create this spiritual, unmotivated bhava, transcendental bhava, one should meditate on the activities of the residents of Vrindavan. That is Raganuga Sadhana, right? That you study the Leela of Krishna in the transcendental realm, and then by resonance, by harmony with that, your own consciousness, your own swarup awakens. And then you go there. So the primary thing is not to meditate on, I want this form, I am doing this. The primary thing is to create the bhava, the mood, right? And then everything will follow that naturally. Rupa Goswami gives the example that just like a young man and a young girl, when they're young boys and they play together, but when they become mature, they become attracted to one another. So similarly, we have to create first things first, the bhava, and then naturally everything follows. So, anyway, we've gone into bhakti yoga now, and Lord Chaitanya's from this conception today. But Arjuna, he's made some very good points for us. What happens to somebody who doesn't persevere? So this is very important, like we said. Huh? It doesn't matter if you have no talent for music. If you practice, you will develop musical ability. You may want to become an artist, and you may not be able to draw a circle. But if you practice, you will improve your artistic ability. Right? So it is not talent. Huh? It is perseverance. Therefore, Lord said, tapa. Huh? Like Lord Krishna said to Lord Brahma, tapa, austerity. And so austerity means to persevere. So in today's verse, Krishna, Arjuna has asked Krishna, he says, what about those people who don't persevere in yoga practice? They don't develop completely the bhava of the Brijbasis. He's asking the question in relationship to Ashtanga Yoga, but we can understand, yes, because sometimes devotees come and they fall away. So the same answer applies to Ashtanga Yoga and Bhakti Yoga, that if somebody doesn't follow, he falls away because of bad association, aparad, or weakness of heart, ridabalyam, then what happens? So that's already in the Gita. What's that verse? Nehabrakar. Yeah. Whatever advancement you make on this path becomes your permanent asset. If in the past life you became, let's say, Prabhupada uses percentage, 40% Krishna conscious, but if you fall away, then in your next life you won't start from zero. You'll start again from 40% and make progress by grace of Krishna. So the answer that Krishna will give, so two doubts Krishna, Arjuna has. First he said, this is Astanga Yoga, it's not suitable. Krishna said, no, but if you persevere, then you can succeed. And then he said, well then, and that's today's question, what about if you don't persevere? So then Krishna is saying, well, you'll still be in a good situation to carry on in your next life. But from this we can understand, and this is a very important point, we should understand the process. The Lord Chaitanya has come to give Raganuga particularly, meditation on the mood, the rasa of Vrindavan, that unmotivated bhakti. And we should persevere in our practice. Don't think, oh, he's very intelligent, he knows Sanskrit, this I'm not, that person has a good education, I don't, that person is strong in body, I'm not. Same point. It all depends on perseverance, you see. And that is, in Sanskrit, that's called dridavrata. So, at the same time though, we should persevere in knowledge. And we should understand what is the goal. We should understand what is pure bhakti. And that pure bhakti means to serve Krishna for his pleasure. And that's it. You understand? And if we understand that and we perform all our activities, whether it's cooking, cleaning, washing our clothes, chanting in the temple, whatever, we perform them as yajna for the pleasure of Krishna. And japa, it's yajna. Yajnanam japa. Right? Of yajnas, I am japa. So when we chant, we think, I'll chant and this will please Guru, I'm following his order, and this will please Krishna. And then what will be the effect? We will feel? Anyone hazard a guess? We will feel pleasure, right? We will feel satisfaction. And that is very important, like we said at the beginning, because unless we are feeling some happiness, pleasure in Krishna consciousness, we will not be able to persevere. So we must know how to get the higher taste. And put it that way. And then we won't fall away. Therefore knowledge is very important. So Lord Chaitanya told the six Goswamis to write so many books, and he's always told the Acharyas to write commentary. And there's vast quantities of bhakti literature. So you may become a little bewildered. But therefore in books like Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Gita itself, Jiva Dharma, very important, there is discussion about these key points, that bhakti should be performed for the pleasure of Guru, Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And then we'll easily get success. Of course, the mantra itself will give enlightenment, but it's Shravanam Kirtanam. It's much easier to go on two-wheeled bicycle than one-wheel bicycle. Right? Monocycle. Okay, we'll finish on that point. Any question? Point of discussion? So you all understand now. When we go to temple, we go to please Krishna. Huh? We put on nice clothes, right, according to Nectar of Devotion. We pay our obeisances. Why? To please Krishna. So you see, the thing is, we have to adopt this motivation. Because you cannot do anything without a motivation, right? You have to have a reason. So, bhakti means to give up the reason of doing it for me, but doing it for Krishna. Yes, you have a question?
Regarding this, like Lord was saying, the person who sees me everywhere, always living in me.
Yeah.
I doubt that I am living in Prabhupada's death camp. It says that this material world is transformation of, is happening because of the diffusion of Krishna's energy. So, how a devotee, what is the fact? Actually, the energy, everywhere is Krishna's energy like sunshine, or Krishna is personally present? Because.
Both. Krishna is explained, you see. This is a very interesting point. You know, Krishna says, everything is within me, and I am within everything. Yes. You see, that's why it's achincha. You see, the thing is, it's easy to understand. There's the sun and the energy, right? And the sun is there, and the energy is outside, right? But when... So that is a material achinchabed. And we say, oh, the sun and the sunlight are the same. They're one. But they're different. So that is one understanding of achinchabed. But it's not inconceivable. It's easy to understand that, right? The sun is there and the sunlight. And they're one, but they're different. But Krishna says that I am expanded, but everything is within me. So you have to think of the sun giving out sunlight, but still the sunlight is within the sun. That's achincha. You understand? When Mother Yashoda looked within Krishna, she saw everything within Krishna on her lap. You understand? So she saw herself there. So Krishna has expanded his energy, but it's still within himself. So that's the real, that's another stage. That's why achincha, this is not conceivable. That this is all Krishna's expanded energy, and yet it's still within Krishna. So, we sometimes have a conception that there's Goloka, right? And then there are the Narayan Lokas, and then there's the Brahmajyoti, right? And then in one corner there's the Pradhan, and within the Pradhan there's Mahavishnu, and there's all the universes, and we think Krishna is there. And the Pradhan is there. But actually it's all, yes, it's all the expansion, but it's all within Krishna simultaneously. And at the same time, Krishna in the Brahma Samhita is within every atom, completely. So the point is, achincha means not conceivable to the material mind. We cannot understand that because we think the sun is there and the energy is outside, right? And so this is how we are viewing everything. But Krishna and Krishna's position is above material time and material dimension. He has created it, but he's not bound by it. You understand? So when we meditate upon Krishna, that by His grace we can understand the inconceivable. But if we use material logic, you know, to try and understand Krishna, the mind runs back. And that's why one reason why people like Okay, it's just all one. Because it's very simple, you know. It's just all energy and it's all one. And all this variety, it's all illusion. I don't have to deal with it. I just dismiss it. Huh? But Krishna, you see, he's above material time, material dimension, material space, material logic. If he wasn't above it, he wouldn't be supreme. You understand? He's created them. They're his playthings. Like Lord Chaitanya, it explained he used to meet the Vaishnavas when he was Nimai Pandit, right? And he would argue one thing and defeat. And then he would argue against himself and defeat that idea. And then he would... Huh? So he was completely master of material logic. And nobody could understand what his arguments and how he was able to make an undefeatable argument and then defeat it. Just like sometimes people say, can Krishna make a stone so heavy that he can't lift it? Right? If he can't make one, he's not absolute. But if he can't lift it, he's also not absolute. So Prabhupada used to say, yes, he can make a stone so heavy he can't lift it, and then he can lift it. Now that doesn't seem logical, does it? One second the stone he can't lift, and the next second he does lift it. Huh? Why? Because Krishna, you have your logic, and you're making your little word, you know. But Krishna, he's not bound by that. So, that is why Achinchabeda Bade, it's the final point of Sambandha Gyan. You know, there's 7 points of seven mulas. So Achincha is so important. And that's why Lord Chaitanya, his philosophy is Achinchabeda. It means instead of being a jnani and talking, is there Dvaitavad or is it monistic? Actually, Lord Chaitanya says, it isn't Gyan Marg at all. He says, instead of arguing about the inconceivable, just meditate on the inconceivable. You understand? Yes, we have all logic and argument, but ultimately we say that you will never be able to work it all out intellectually. But if you enter into sadhana, and you please Krishna, he will reveal to you. And therefore the rishis, the great sages, they meditate upon Krishna. And if they have some topic of Siddhanta, they put it before Krishna. And then Krishna, by his grace, gives them understanding. So they reciprocate in this way. But they don't get a book and think, well, I'll have to figure this out. No, they do it in relation to Krishna, you see. So Krishna is above material space, logic. So he has expanded all this energy, and at the same time it is within him. And yet at the same time, Krishna is within every atom and molecule. Because his position is beyond material conception. But we're told these things in Shastra, and the great rishis, perhaps this point of Siddhanta we're just discussing, that's what they do. I mean, those that are maybe Gyan Mishra, they're meditating. How is it possible? And they meditate on this, and they try to gain enlightenment. But in Bhakti Yoga, Lord Chaitanya has specifically told us to meditate on the activities of the transcendental realm, the bhavas of the realm, and go there. And then, because that spiritual realm is beyond material conception, you see, instead of trying to understand the material realm, that understanding will be included within realization of the transcendental realm. You see? But ultimately, these things are revealed within the consciousness, beyond material logic and material words. Of course, at the same time, we contemplate, and that is the proper use of the intelligence, you see. Without Krishna consciousness, that contemplation becomes speculation. And that means people think this, maybe that, maybe this. But in Krishna consciousness, that activity of the buddhi and the mind, we apply to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. We take the Shastra and the words of the Acharyas and we contemplate them. What does this mean? What does this mean? And then by grace of Krishna, we get enlightenment. So it's a different form of study. But we must remember, as long as we have this material mind and body, the full power of the soul is not able to manifest. It's stated in the Nectar of Devotion that you cannot reach the higher levels of prema in this material body. They're just too powerful. So the soul now is sleeping, jeev jago jeev. It's sleeping. We think, oh, I'm conscious being. But actually our consciousness is much less than it can be. The level of realization. So to make the consciousness blossom, we cultivate the mood of the spiritual world. You understand? They're fully enlightened. The gopis, the cowherd boys, the resident, they're the most enlightened people. They have the most expanded consciousness. They have the most realization. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. Because they have the most expanded bhakti. So these inconceivable things of Krishna, they can be understood through bhakti, by His grace. You see. So we'll finish at this point. Okay, satisfied. Jai. Srila Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavad Gita Sadhu Sangha Ki. Jai. Now you know what a chincha beta bait means. You were thinking it's just energy and the sun and that. But there's more layers to it. Isn't it amazing? We're actually within Krishna now, you and me, in this room.
I read then Chant Canto for the prayers of Srila Vasudeva to Krishna. He said, that's a very interesting thing. He said that it appears that you have entered into Devaki's body and now you are manifesting yourself from there. But actually, I'm realizing that actually you are already everywhere. And just manifesting from her body. Just like you were like Mahavishnu. And then it appears that you are entering into each and every universe and therefore that Kashyap Vishnu. But already you are there in the universe. But
yeah.
It appears that Lord is in the past life. So that is.
And Lord Brahma says a similar thing.
I think even do you also have this feeling that every time you read up for any Prabhupada's books, every time something new comes up.
Yeah. It's like because they're non different from transcendence.
Prabhupada told in the Prabhupada that as one begins chanting Hare Krishna, and then gradually becomes qualified to hear the pastimes and the philosophy. This is like something new to me. That, by chanting Hare Krishna, you know,
yeah.
The same things hit us more and more and more and more.
Yeah.
The same.
So that's it. As the consciousness
expands
or blossoms, then it sees the same thing in a deeper way,
yes.
More full way, you see. So, and the same thing with the Gita, actually. You can study, I've been studying Gita 40 years, but you never run out of understanding.
Some new devotee, something, just the constitution of devotee, something mystical to it. There's something always comes up.
Yeah.
again Krishna saying that
yes, because when devotees hear and chant together, that attracts Krishna.
And one more question is, one devotee mentioned that like when daily kitchen we cook for the pleasure of Lord various items, but when we cooking, we are cooking for our separate kitchen, like suppose I'm wasting some special medications or something like that, we only...
Well, that's not correct, is it? But of course we might be cooking a special diet, but we should still think I'm making it for Krishna or for the Vaishnavas.
So what is the most superior?
But no, ultimately Krishna, of course. Because everything is offered to Krishna. The Vaishnava only accepts on behalf of Krishna.
No, I'm saying it like I'm making for Krishna, putting him for the picture. But isn't it Krishna, my understanding my situation also, that I cannot, obviously I'm not doing the rating, is it? But I have to get prasadam, I am trying to follow his instruction that whatever you eat, you give to me. Will this be called as karma yoga or bhakti yoga?
Well, there's an element, that's why Lord Chaitanya said that this is external, because there's an element, I'm doing according to my karma, my dharma, my material dharma, I'm doing. But atak shri krishna na, you know, sava upadi vinir muktam. So that really means that bhakti in the ultimate sense is performed within the swarup, within the transcendental body, above the material energy, with no connection at all. But in the period of sadhana, we take support. In the period of sadhana bhakti, we act according to our propensities. But ultimately, in the ultimate sense, bhakti is sava upadi vinir muktam, no connection at all with anything material. Yes. But the thing is, devotional service, like I tried to explain in the class, it means to have that devoted mood. You understand? So we may think, like for instance, we may be working in the temple, but we may be but we're doing it for ourselves. But I was trying to say in the class, that's okay at the beginning, but we should understand that ultimately our motivation shouldn't spring from our own necessity, but from the desire to please Krishna and Krishna's devotees, you see. But of course, that therefore you have what's called karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti. Somebody may be studying the scripture because they want to satisfy their curiosity, right? Or because they want to find a way of making money, or they want liberation. Therefore Krishna says the man of knowledge is the same as me. So what is that knowledge? It means knowledge of what is really bhakti and what is the mood of bhakti. So the person, the bhakti, the bhakta who is fixed in siddhanta, realization, he is transcendental. He is uttamadhikari, you see. So, by his association, we can understand. See, many people, they may keep chanting and chanting and think, this is going to be good for me, good for me, good for me. And they may carry on like that for many, many, many years. And there's still some self-motivation, you see. But anavritam, you know, jnana karmani anavritam. So, anukula means it's done just for Krishna. Just favorable. Radharani, a name of Radharani is anukula. You know? It's favorable. So, Radharani is the guru of anukula bhakti. Favorable, unmotivated. But in one sense, Guru or Baladev or Nityananda is the guru of the sadhana bhaktas. He's taking them out of the material energy. But the guru of Golok or Gokul is Srimati Radharani. She's the Bhakti Devi controlling all the devotion. So, if we understand pure bhakti, then we go very fast, you see. That's why the acharyas have written. So next time you're reading, you look where Prabhupada says, oh, the satisfaction of Krishna, the happiness of Krishna. Before you may have missed that point. But that's throughout Prabhupada's books. But unless you are looking for it, you may not see it. You see?
Yeah.
You understand? You may think, I'm reading Gita for knowledge, for me. I'm not saying you, but somebody. But pure bhakti
sometimes
means...
I have a desire that I'm going to Parayan. Parayan, 15th chapter, then this personality is there, then goes back to Godhead.
Huh? Yeah, so therefore Lord Chaitanya says, Janmani Janmani Ishvari.
But isn't it, Prabhupada many times also says that one should aspire to go back to Godhead, not just...
Yes, but you see, again, like the same thing, what does going back to Godhead mean? It really means to have the... Yeah, you see, Narada Muni, he's in Godhead, he's coming to the material world. So that is also there. Prabhupada explains that ultimately the devotee, even in Narak, is in transcendental consciousness. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada said, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So the spiritual world isn't really a location, it's a matter of consciousness. So now you know what the consciousness is, right? It's just the Atmaram, self-satisfaction, and just the desire to please Krishna.
Huh? People, why people get thinking about Krishna's pleasure? Because they are actually self-satisfied. And because near in material world, I am not satisfied, which is difficult, almost impossible for me to only...
Ah. So that's why, if we understand, and we train ourselves, to act for satisfaction of Guru and Krishna and Vaishnava, then we become self-satisfied.
And deep within the heart there is a kind of insecurity also. If I for my own pleasure, pleasure.
Yeah, but that's right. Well, but you can find practically. If you think, now I'll chant for the pleasure of Krishna, then you will immediately start to feel pleasure. Because without that mood, you can't get the pleasure, or fully. Of course, Krishna is always very kind and merciful. But the real pleasure comes when you act for the pleasure of Krishna. And that is prema. That is, you know, the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah. Yeah. That is, act for the pleasure of the beloved. But in the material world, you know, we help each other, and all, but there's always that selfishness there. So the real self, we have to understand, is Krishna. Because we are Angsa of Krishna. I tried to explain in the class. So when we chant for our... if we want to have real self-satisfaction, we should understand what our real self is. We're little particles of... we're also Krishna. We're expansions of Krishna.
Same thing, Prabhupada, by chanting one becomes gradually more revealed to a person that the object of love is Krishna. It's such a deep statement that now we're loving like laptop or loving some this person. But actually, by chanting, actually my real person of where I have to offer my love is Krishna.
That's a very nice quote.
From
yeah,
very wonderful.
The real object.
The object of love is Krishna.
Yeah, so that's it. We're loving ourselves ultimately, but we should understand our real self is Krishna. You see, and yet at the same time we are not Krishna. And chincha beda beda. You see, so that's why the relationship is perfect, because there's a perfect harmony between Krishna and the soul. Because the soul is the same as Krishna and yet separate from Krishna.
That is why I just told that in the Sarvabhavina Bharata, when one person realizes the Supreme Person is Krishna, then with full devotional service tries to please him.
Yes.
Good thing is, the same things are repeated. You only told that. When I hear something from Sadhu, the same thing I hear from Shastra, the same thing from Guru. Then the faith becomes confirmed. This is like
Pakka,
this is not something.
Yeah, it says in 11th canto, you should hear from many sources. They may put things in a different way, but the same idea. Yeah, just like if you want to buy a computer and you hear from 10 different people, this Sony is very good, this one model is good. If you hear from one person, you know, okay. But then if you a whole load of people say, I know computers, I know, but I think this one is good and this one is best. And they're all agreeing. So you hear from all the different sadhus, then you feel more satisfied. So that's why it's said, you can have one Diksha Guru, but many Shiksha Gurus, and they're all giving, just like you... You have one doorway in your house, but you may have many windows. And the light is coming in all of them. You understand? So the Vaishnavas or the many gurus are giving the sunlight.
Sometimes you do not have the door. The door will be closed. But the window can be opened.
Yeah, so the sunlight, you have to get the sunlight in your darkened room. You see? Okay, Haribol. Thank you too.